From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Wednesday, June 21st. Coming up, we'll hear about how the lack of rainfall is affecting farmers and crops in Illinois. That story from Tim Alexander in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Kelsey Chang was on a plane taking her back home to the U.S. yesterday, just a week after a Michigan man attacked her and killed her friend, fellow University of Illinois graduate Eva Liu of Naperville, during a visit to Germany. Authorities say Chang and Liu, both in their early 20s, were hiking near Germany's Neuschwanstein Castle last Wednesday when they encountered a 30-year-old man who attacked them both. The authorities say the man threw both women off a cliff, but first apparently tried to sexually assault Liu. She later died. Chang was hospitalized for 4 days. The man was arrested nearby. Prosecutors say a formal indictment against him may not come for 3 to 4 months. U of I Urbana campus spokesperson Robin Kaler says Eva Liu and Kelsey Chang had just graduated in May. The Congressional Debt Ceiling Agreement capped federal housing assistance program spending for the new fiscal year. Bob Palmer is policy director at Housing Action Illinois. He says that's concerning.
Because rents are continuing to go up, it's going to be very challenging just to make sure that everyone who's currently getting federal assistance to help pay their rent is going to be able to keep it.
Palmer says freezing spending is effectively a budget cut. He says it's estimated that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development needs at least another $13 billion in the upcoming fiscal year to maintain current service levels. Latino lawmakers in Illinois are encouraging undocumented immigrants to sign up for state-supported health care coverage before it's too late. Alex Degman reports.
New enrollments for the healthcare program covering undocumented residents ages 42 to 64 will be frozen July 1st. People who have coverage can keep it, including new people who sign up by June 30th. That's why members of the Illinois Legislative and Chicago City Council Latino caucuses, among other groups, are encouraging people to apply for coverage before then. This program, plus another covering undocumented seniors 65 and older, cost way more than expected. Lawmakers passed a measure allowing the governor to change rules and make cuts to the program. In addition to enrollment caps, hospital copays will start for services that aren't eligible for federal matching dollars. I'm Alex Degman.
Urbana students report feeling isolated at school because other students and some teachers have said hurtful things about their identities. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
This is one finding from my 300-page report into whether District 116 is an equitable place to learn, especially for historically marginalized groups. Derek Cooper is the Urbana Middle School principal. He already plans to follow one recommendation, to create a student advisory group focused on microaggressions.
Middle school students might not use words like microaggressions, but they can tell when they are being treated differently, right? They might use a word like I'm being picked on or, you know, something like that. But being able to just use their experience and try to figure out, like, hey, how can we make things better for you all? How can we make it, you know, safer?
In a survey of about 1,000 students, about half said they had been the victim of hurtful comments. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll hear a conversation about what the drought-like conditions in Illinois mean for farmers and their crops. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Our House is a riveting, new 4-part mystery series about conspiracy, betrayal, and a marriage in ruins. Fee Lawson arrives home one day to discover strangers moving into her house and is shocked to learn that her husband Bram is missing. Her confusion and fear build as she realizes the secrets and lies have only just begun. Learn how to watch this and other gripping mysteries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. Illinois food crop producers are in dire need of some precipitation, with rainfall totals significantly behind normal levels and many crop fields crusting over in a cracked checkerboard fashion. Conditions in western Illinois are so dry that morning dews have not been accumulating on plant leaves, causing corn leaf rolling not usually seen before late July or early August. Tim Alexander recently spoke with Adams County Farm Bureau President Brent Clare and Illinois Soybean Association Director of Agronomy Abigail Peterson about what's going on.
It's hard to say that the entire county has been without rain, but where I live in the northern part of the county, the storms that have come through may have produced a half of a tenth to a tenth of a rain, where parts in our south may have gotten closer to a half to three quarters of an inch. But even those storms have been far and few between. And if you just look at the drought monitor that's been released, you can see how that that extreme drought is moving in from the west into the western part of the Illinois region. And again, it's like, you know, there are places who are getting a little bit of rain, but then there are a lot more that are not.
How widespread is the drought currently, Brent? I haven't seen the drought monitor for a few days.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, the last one I looked at was that portions of northeastern Missouri. Now, I know we're talking about Illinois, but to set the stage a little bit, northeastern Missouri have seen, you know, almost the absolute worst case scenario for as far as drought setting or drought ratings. And what that is so concerning about is the fact that usually that moves into our area just because of the way the weather patterns work. My background is actually meteorology as well. I both farm and serve as a meteorologist. And to see this pattern set up, because the storm systems typically move from west to east, you know, if you move a storm across dry land, it's going to stay dry. It's going to zap the moisture out of it. As a phrase I use, it's called dry brings dry, wet brings wet. And it's the way the storms form and work that they need moisture to grow. They need moisture to sustain. So if you have a storm pop up in central Missouri and it moves across a dry, parched land, it has nothing to feed off of. And then by the time it gets to Illinois, it dries. It just dissipates and dries out. That's why you see that pattern move from Missouri or from Kansas into Missouri and then eventually into Illinois as those storms just run out of energy as they move from west to east.
Abigail, I was thinking of you when I came up with the question of what are the some of the symptoms, what will happen to, well, we've got corn, soybeans, and wheat in our area, all can be affected by drought. Can you describe some of the effects that Brent touched on there with your background?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it will be interesting. We're hearing reports of Southern Illinois starting wheat harvest currently. So that's always safe not to give yield estimates as the yields are coming in. Whether they'll be projected as average or below could be very a reality just because of how dry conditions are at the beginning of this season. But more wheat has been moved into the state for this the fall planting that we had in fall 2022. So we'll see how that impacts roll into as yields come in now. As far as soybeans and corn, very important stages right now in those development. So right now, corn for most fields that I'm walking are at V6. You've seen maybe a lot of side dress bars or applications go through fields. V6 can be very important as far as a vegetative growth stage. It can determine how many rows per ear that we will be seeing. And as that crop development continues on in this dry weather, could see reduced impacts if we don't get moisture adequately now. Soybeans, very similar as far as, you know, also being impacted with their vegetative growth stage as of right now. Really, soybeans are very short. Usually in soybean fields, as you drive along the road, you should be able to not see the center of the row. So a lot of them have not canopied. That can be an issue, especially as right now, June 12th was the deadline for the dicamba application. Mm-hmm. So herbicides being sprayed right now, you know, limited timing can affect that. Weather has affected that. So, you know, weed control being an issue, especially as canopies are open, it has more of an opportunity for weeds to take over. Another thing, because of the dry conditions, soybeans have spurred their flowering earlier. So flowers are occurring right now at V4, when usually we would see them at V7, V10, vegetative growth stages. mentioned before, luckily our soybeans are indeterminate. So as the reproductive stages will start, soybeans will continue to grow taller and be continue to node and grow and hopefully cover the rows with canopy, but can be an implication as we're spraying herbicides, wanting to make sure flowers are not exposed and damaging potential, reproductive stages for pods. So that will be interesting as well. Needed rains is the solution. Corn, like Brent mentioned, being rolling pretty severe right now, which usually we don't see until those July, August months. What that does as well is limit the photosynthesis activity, and you'll start to see even a waxy covering on the leaves as a compensation to try to make the plant less stressful. But that's going to limit any water intake and really start to hinder, the stomatal effects being slower to opening up to the moisture. It just slows everything down. So we're moving slowly at this point.
How widespread is the issue? You deal with farmers from the northern tip of the state all the way down to the far south. How widespread are you finding these similar drought conditions?
Yes, I think currently northern Illinois is in a moderate drought condition where southern is abnormally dry. In northern Illinois, there has been more spotty showers of what calls I've been getting in from farmers, like an inch in Belvedere, a couple more tenths in Princeton, Illinois. But once you hit Bloomington that last weekend, barely anything. And then once down back to Decatur, a couple more showers. So very spotty. And like was mentioned before, when you have just inconsistent rains with already dry conditions previously being present, as the topsoil is just so dry, with such a spotty moisture accumulation, it doesn't alleviate much, unfortunately. There has been more overcast days, it seems like, so that heat at the, a couple weeks ago where it was so hot to be outside, that affected the plants. So when it's even just cooler outside where we have that overcast conditions where it can help the stress impacts of just having not as much evaporation coming from the fields. But yeah, it's very spotty. But southern Illinois with currently in an abnormally dry, I mean, that's going to just increase as we go.
That was Abigail Peterson and Brent Clare speaking with Tim Alexander about how drought conditions are impacting Illinois crops. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be sunny with a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by the Associated Press, Tim Shelley, Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, and Tim Alexander. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.